Father, we come this morning for one purpose, and that is to praise you in the risen Son. Lord, we confess that we, especially in busy seasons, are people who struggle to wait and we worry, and yet you call us again and again to not worry, to not be afraid. Lord, may this season you bring peace to our hearts where you find us. Lord, always a lot going on in a body our size. Lord, I thank you for answering prayer in the last couple weeks. I thank you for your goodness to the Fontenot's granddaughter. Lord, I thank you this morning in first service seeing Miss Susan walking with a new knee. Lord, I ask for those that are struggling with health and different physical things in this season. I think of Marcel recovering from surgery yesterday. I think of Rhonda East with a knee surgery, and I just heard this morning that she and her husband have COVID. Lord, I ask that you would protect. Lord, I ask for those unknown. I ask for burdens of the heart and the soul. Lord, that you would be close to us, with us this season. And Lord, as we now hear from your word, I ask that I would decrease, that you would increase. I ask that your spirit would move in the hearts of your people, that you would fashion and shape and mold. And Father, we ask that you would send the Son soon. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So this last week, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, it gets a little blurry around this time of year with all that's happening. I went to the most diverse Christmas program I have ever been to in my life. It was the Southside Elementary production in Scott, Louisiana. We were packed into the cafeteria of Scott Middle. It was a kaleidoscope of colors, languages, cultures, all celebrating the holiday season. I'll be honest, I showed up a little tired. I have felt a little like an Uber cab lately, but I was there. And as I sat there, the music leader talked about the fact that we were going to hear a song in French. That was new to me. We heard Feliz Navidad. Hanukkah was mentioned. Kwanzaa was mentioned. Ramadan was mentioned. And I was like, oh, are they going to get there? And yes, they mentioned Christmas, because apparently if you mention everybody, you're okay. I was a little jaded, I think, as I sat there. You know, we live in a world with lots going on. Different cultures, worldviews, religious beliefs. And as I sat and listened to the elementary student production, I thought, well, Jesus will get lost in the shuffle here probably too. Little Eeyore-ish, wasn't I? It was a Monday. And then I felt a sense of being a little overwhelmed. I looked back over the crowd that was jostling and not being too polite unless their kid was singing. You've been there before. Some were having to stand. The doorway was blocked. People were mad about that. People are mad about everything. And I thought, I wonder how many here know the peace and the joy and the love that come from knowing Jesus. We live in a pluralistic world with many truth claims. And what I want to look at this morning with you is how do you and I, 2,000 years after Jesus has come and been born and died and gone back to the Father, how do we invite Jesus' rule here and now? How do you and I advance the kingdom? This idea of kingdom is foreign to us. And yet it is mentioned 39 times in the book of Luke and 8 times in the book of Acts. And if you look at Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, he's always talking about the kingdom. Think about the parables. They're about the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount, about the kingdom. Our Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." It's all there, and often we don't pick up on it. This morning, I want to look at 3 ways that you and I can advance the kingdom, and I want to look specifically at 3 words from Jesus' last words on earth. We're in a sermon series called The Coming King, and through the month of December, we've been tracing the golden thread of the coming king through Scripture. We started in Genesis, and we saw that God is at work restoring in our lives and the lives of others. We saw in the prophet Isaiah that a coming king was pronounced, and that God is he's redemptive, and that there would be a ruler to come. Last week we saw that Christ, he came. He came as a baby, and that's what we tend to focus on this season. But he didn't just come to be a baby. He died and he rose again. And last week we saw the risen king on the road to Emmaus walking with 2 random guys. This week we watch Jesus leave, and we see 3 words on how we can advance the kingdom. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to be in chapter 1. I'm going to pick up in verse 4. Basically, context, the book of Luke and Acts were written by the same individual, Luke. And in the original, they would have been together. Part 1, part 2. Our Bible's divided out because of we have the Gospels and then we have the book of Acts. And so Luke's about halfway through his story when we come to Acts. Last week we saw the end where Christ had come, he had revealed himself, and here we see right before his ascension his last words to his apostles. And I'm going to pick up in verse 4. "Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' This makes me chuckle. He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth.'" How can you and I, 2,000 years later, in all that we see, advance Christ's kingdom? The first word we see is authority. The kingdom advances when you and I trust the Father's authority. We see this in verse 7 at the end of the verse. It says, "The Father has fixed by his own authority." The word authority means jurisdiction. It's kind of a legal term. It means right to rule. And in verses 4 to 7, we see Jesus giving the last instructions to his followers. Remember the context in verse 3, we see this. He's risen again. They're seeing the risen Christ. He probably has their attention. Not only that, for 40 days, Jesus has been telling them about the kingdom. He's preparing them. We come to verse 4 and 6, this when it says gathering together. I don't want you to miss this because we live in South Louisiana. It's around a table. It's a picture. It's a real familiar, you know, anything good goes down, there's food there. And so that is in the language here. They're kind of in this intimate setting, and he's giving them last words. He's telling them, and we see in 4 and 5, and this surprises us, he tells them to wait. I don't know about you, but if I'm looking at a dude that just rose from the dead and I'd been following him for 3 years, I'd be like, let's go. We got this. Not Jesus. Jesus looks at them in verse 4, gathering together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He gives them some detail in verse 5, and they ask a question. And at the end of 7, he says, look, it's not for you to know. The Father has fixed it. He has authority. The question that they ask, hey, is now the time to restore the kingdom of Israel? It's a fair question, because when Jesus mentions the baptism of John, any time in the Old Testament, front half of the Bible, that we see baptism, it points to the fact that there's going to be a messianic reign on earth. The Jews knew this. And so they're keying in. They remember John. And he said, John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize with the Spirit. And so they're like, hey, is now the time that we take control? Basically, we can go get those crummy Romans that crucified you, because apparently you can beat death. And all our bad leaders, you can take care of them too. And when everybody sees you have a that you're here and that you've risen, it's game on. So they ask the question, is now the time? In Jesus, classic fashion, it's not for you to know. Makes me laugh. My kids are always like, what are we doing next? What's the plan? Are we going out? Are we going here? And I'm fine. You know, parent, you know, you're finally like, be quiet. I have the plan, and I ain't telling it to you. Period. If you ask again. He's not quite there, but he's close. And the words epic and time, your Bible may have a different translation. Mine has times and epochs. It's kind of a weird word. Time is a long season of time. Could be a century. It could be millennia, 1,000 years. Could be a decade for some of us. Boy, that time, bad time in life. This second word is an event in time. So, COVID would be an example. This room's all going to talk into the future. You remember in 2019, it was an event that came in time. Jesus says, all authority has been given to the Father, and you don't need to know. You know, God has a plan. And I think we go through life, especially when it gets busy and stressful, and we think God's missing it. We think God doesn't know what's going on in the circumstances of our life. Like what we woke up and we'll go to bed thinking about, that God doesn't care, or he doesn't see the end from the beginning. If God is a restoring God, there are things in your and my life that we would love for God to touch them and take care of them. And if they're painful, there's seasons where we say, God, you really have a plan for this? The apostles have just seen some really bad stuff. Their lives were in turmoil until Jesus shows back up. And now they're ready to go, and Jesus is like, wait. The Father has a plan. He has authority. What kind of authority? Well, apparently he can beat death. Apparently he can forgive sins through Jesus. And yes, he can work in your and my life as he sees fit. I'll just speak for me. It's not often what I want. I'm real good at forming plans for my life. I have stacks of them. And then God seems to say, hey, that's nice. You want to come? Here's my plan. And you only need to know this much. I don't like that. I'm not sure he cares. You see, he has all authority. They say, Lord, will you restore the kingdom of Israel? We've been this backwater country, and the Romans even crucified you. Are we going forward now? They're worried. Do you know what you and I do when our plan doesn't quite get executed? We join the long line of worriers that somehow, again, God doesn't have a plan. He doesn't care. It's simply not true. Well, if he doesn't do it how we would do it, then he tends to do it in unexpected ways, does he not? He works in our lives unexpectedly. We do remember it's not what we do for Jesus, it's who he wants us to be becoming. I like here this passage, Jesus tells them to wait. I hate waiting. Anybody love waiting? He tells them, don't worry and wait. You see, God moves in his own timing. He's not in a rush. He knows what he's doing and cultivating in our lives, in our church body, at the highest levels. The Father has authority. Jesus calls us and his followers to faithful obedience to his authority. Can I ask you this morning, is there somewhere where you are worrying and you need to hand it back to the Father who's in control? Is there somewhere he is calling you to wait and you're just pushing in and you need to just wait? The kingdom advances as you and I trust the Father's authority and we obey him. That can look like a lot of things. Jesus over and over called us to love God, to love others, to become like Jesus, to take steps of faith. There's plenty that we have to do. But worry is not one of them. You know, in a big picture, we tend to look at the world around us and we get kind of like me in the gym at Scott Elementary. We just kind of seeps in and we worry that God's not in control of the world. We don't like what we see. Maybe it's in our family. Maybe it's in our church. Maybe it's in our country, our community. I don't know. It's probably different for each one of us. And often our response to that, in the midst of worrying and waiting, is we develop these things called agendas. Now, I like to say when I meet people, I like joking, I say, I love you and I have a plan for your life. We do that for God, don't we? God, we love you and I've got a plan how this should play out. What do you think? Well, what would an agenda be? You know, sometimes we lean into the political agenda. If we just had the right leaders, it would get better. Sometimes we lean into the social justice. Boy, if we just got busy and like the kingdom would come. Some of us retreat to the prayer closet and we beg God, like, Lord, would you allow revival? And hear me real clear, I don't need any hate mail on this. All three are great and good. But could it be that God's got a plan and it's rolling forward just fine? And that you and I should be looking at this circle right here and saying, hey, how's this dude? How's this lady advancing the kingdom? I'm taking karate. It helps with pastoral angst. I'm serious. It's one of the few times I can get my mind to turn off. And we've got a sensei. Her name is Sensei Rose. She's amazing. She's about this tall. She was on the national team back in the day. And about midlife, she had a debilitating stroke that took her 2 years to walk and talk. And she had to relearn everything. You should see Sensei Rose. She half sides pretty well locked up, but when she steps on the mat, it's on. And I wouldn't tangle with her, all 100 pounds. I'd be in trouble. And Sensei Rose, well, I'll be sitting there trying to keep up with the 8 and 10-year-olds, you know, ha, ha, and all that. And she'll come up to me, and she'll kind of grin at me. And she'll go, too slow, too slow. I try harder, and you know, I pull muscles, and I can't sleep the next night, and the kids laugh at me. Too slow. You know, when you and I think of the kingdom, I think of Rose. We think, too small. Too small. Governments are too small. Social justice movements are too small. We're not talking just about revival in a generation. We are talking about something that has been advancing since Christ came and will not cease till he returns. Follower of Christ, do not fall in to too small. He's God, and he has all authority. Do you know what he likes to use instead? Instead of the big picture, he comes down to the smallest unit, you and I. And he says, hey, will my kingdom reign in you? Will you follow me? Will you give your life to advance the kingdom? One person at a time. And what do we do in the midst of worry and wait? Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary. Jesus says this, come to me in 2022, in the Christmas season, with your worries and your weights. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my load is light, and you will find rest for your soul. It's an open invitation, any and every season. When I was in seminary, I had a very old professor. There were a lot of old professors. And he may have been my oldest. When he was a kid, he was picked up he grew up out in the sticks. And he was picked up by his Sunday school teacher in a Model T truck, if that tells you how old this guy was. So the Sunday school teacher would drive along out in this rural route, and he'd pick up three or four boys and take them to Little Country Church. One day they were driving, and all of a sudden, the guy stopped the Model T and pulled over on the side of the dirt road. And he'd never done that before. Like, he was a homing pigeon to the church. That was his mission. And he had all the boys get out. And they looked out into the field, and he said, boys, they'd all grow up in farms. They said, what do you see out there? And they said, well, we see a team of oxen plowing. He said, that's good. He said, now, tell me about them. One of the smarter ones was like, well, the one on the left is it's a big ox. And the one on the right's a little baby bullock. That's baby oxen, baby bullock. Not all of us grew up on farms, right? And he looked at the boys and he quoted Matthew 11:28-30. And he said, who, boys, is carrying the load of that yoke? They said, the big ox. They said, what's the little ox doing? They said, nothing. He's just walking alongside wherever the big ox goes. That's the picture for you and me in Jesus. At any point, in any season, worried, waiting, we're called to let him carry the load. We yoke with him again and again. How do we advance the kingdom? It is by trusting his authority. Second, we advance the kingdom when we look to the Spirit's power. Again, here's Jesus. He's risen from the dead. I bet the disciples are so out of their mind, like, come on, let's go. Remember, Jesus had talked to them about 12 thrones and ruling. And remember, one or two of them would saddle up next to him and say, hey, listen, we hear what you're saying. When we get to the kingdom, can me and my brother have the left and the right side? You know, that'd be a good place, powerful position. Here in verse 8, Jesus gives the second word. He says, but you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This Jesus here gives the last promise to the apostles, the power of the Holy Spirit. The word power in the Greek is dynamis. It's where we get the word dynamite, but that's not a good correlation. Dynamite's too small. Too small. You see, dynamis means capable. It means that results come. Not only that, it means strength for the calling. They would have heard when he used the word power, it would have been like out of Isaiah 40:31 that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You understand that you and I, whatever Christ calls us to, he is the one that gives the strength. It is His grace in our lives. What is the source? This verse Jesus tells us, it's the Holy Spirit. Everything you see around you and I that's advancing the kingdom, it is His Spirit. Jesus is at the right hand. I have people ask me every once in a while, well, Michael, why do you talk about Jesus all the time? Listen, the Trinity isn't in any type of competition. The Father, the Son, and Spirit, they're all good. They all want to go forward. Like, they're good. And you know what the Father said? The Father said that all glory is going to go to the Son. That there's going to be a day where every knee will bow to the Son. So I talk a lot about Jesus because I think that's a safe place to be. But it is fair that all of the power now that you and I as individual believers, this body, as Christianity, for those who are followers of Christ, it comes from the Holy Spirit. He's like the silent partner. He doesn't want the glory. He's pointing to the Son, but He's doing all the heavy lifting. That's enough with the Trinity for this morning. The kingdom never advances through human power. Can I say that one again? I think this is the most important thing that I can say this morning. The kingdom never advances through human power. We are the agents. We are the ones that He used. We are agency, but the power is from the Spirit. We mess that up so much. You see, it's not about our power, our aptitude, our skill, our ability, our slickness. Any of those words come in or out of our mouth, it is no longer about His grace and His glory. It becomes about us. I like what is written on this pulpit here. Every time I come up here, it's like I need a reminder. He must increase. You and I must decrease. The power comes from the Spirit. The kingdom only advances there. It's counterintuitive, but Jesus likes the counterintuitive, doesn't He? The foolish become wise. The weak become strong. The least become the greatest. Life from death. This last week on Twitter, which I do not avidly follow, so don't tweet anything because I won't see it. A very interesting thing happened in Christian circles. Beth Moore, who is a great Bible teacher, we've done a lot of her studies here. She's really gifted there. She actually apologized on Twitter to the younger Christian generation, my generation, for promoting a platform celebrity Christian culture. Gutsy. My hat's off to Beth Moore. Not many will say it, but what you and I have experienced is people in the spotlight that have a stage. And whether their hearts are pure or not is one thing. That's between them and the Lord. But Beth Moore came out this last week and she said, Christian celebrity culture, success, fame, slickness, power, that's not the kingdom. And we know that. You see, the kingdom advances when you and I walk in the Spirit. What might that look like? Living in the reality of grace. Not guilt, not shame, not failures from the past or present or even the future, that our identity is secure in Christ. And it is His righteousness alone that justifies a sinner like me. You know, I like the character Peter. He would have been here in this first chapter. Think what Peter just did. Peter was a spotlight type guy. Remember right before, after the Last Supper, they're going to the garden and Jesus says He's going to get betrayed. Peter's like, hey, let me grab the steak knife here. In the garden, he hacks off an ear and Jesus is like, Peter, what you doing, man? Takes the ear, puts it back on. Peter denies 3 times. He's crushed. He runs off. Jesus comes back to him at the end of the Gospel of John and He restores Peter. Peter, even after being restored, he's worried about this guy next to him. He's like, hey, Jesus, what's going to happen to this guy? And Jesus is like, hey, dude, I'm talking to you. You know what we see Peter do in the following chapters? God uses this failure of a man to do great things for him. He uses men and women all through the book of Acts that are living in the power of the Spirit and the reality of Christ, and the kingdom advances, and it hasn't stopped yet. Not only is you and I walking in grace, understanding that God can use us despite ourselves, but Scripture says that you and I are desired to live a quiet life. Is there anywhere else that we're hearing that in culture? A quiet life lived for His glory. Maybe you and I can do that. What's that look like? As we abide in Christ, as we cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. This last week, I was reading through Galatians. I'm coming up on the end of the Bible this year, and I hit the fruit of the Spirit. I was cruising. I'm a little behind. And I was like, whoa. And I went back, and I started love, joy, peace, patience, kind. And I'm like, oh, man, I got a hole there. I haven't seen this one for a while. Am I doing any of these? I found myself stopping and saying, Lord, I think Michael's been operating in the flesh a lot. Could you up my game and awareness of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit? Because I apparently struggle. Not only that, abiding in Christ, the fruits, cultivating the fruits of the Spirit. How about engaging the spiritual gifts? Those come. They're given from Jesus, but they are fueled by the power of the Spirit. I love about this body, so many of you are engaging your gifts for the sake of Christ. It is a beautiful thing. And you know, He uses the least and the little. He loves that. All for His glory. There was a Scottish pastor about 200 years ago who lived in the moors of Scotland. He was a Congregationalist. And he had ministered faithfully. He was coming to the end of his tenure. He had a couple more years, and the deacons were reviewing him, the powers that be, and they were a little concerned that the church had not grown. So they were grilling him a little, and they said, hey, who have you seen come to know Jesus? And our numbers increased, and he was a humble guy. He was honest. He's like, no, actually, our numbers have decreased. I've buried, you know, half dozen people this last year, and I'm not sure I've seen anyone come to Christ. And then, as if he had forgotten, he goes, no. There was wee Billy Moffat, the little boy. Anybody know who Billy Moffat is? Other than maybe Tim? Nobody knows this guy. Isn't that great? But see what had happened on that Sunday. The word had been preached and the Spirit was moving in Billy's life. And only as a boy could, when the offering plate came around, he looked at the usher and he said, I have no money to give. Can you put the plate on the ground? And when he put the plate on the ground, he stood up in the plate and he said, if I have nothing to give, I will give all of who I am. That wee Billy that no one seemed to remember became a missionary to South Africa. For 50 years is credited to opening South Africa. His daughter married David Livingston, who opened up all of Africa. God takes men and women, boys and girls, who trust His authority and look not to live for self, but the power of the Spirit. And He uses them to advance the kingdom. You know, somewhere in adulthood, we lose the innocence and we would never dream of stepping into an offering plate. We should do that every Sunday when we come here. It would be good for our souls. How does God advance the kingdom? First, it advances as you and I in our individual lives and in what we intersect. Trust God's authority that He has a plan, that His word is true, and that the kingdom is advancing. Second, the kingdom advances when we look to this power of the Spirit And last, it advances as you and I are witnesses. The third word, witnesses for Jesus. Authority, power, witnesses. In verse 8, it says, and you shall be my witnesses. And then it rolls on to geographical settings. I think this is one of the most abused verses in all the Bible. We tend to reduce it to just a message like, hey, do you know that Jesus loves you and he died for you? And this is true. And he wants to be in a relationship with you and that you can have forgiveness of sins and walk with him. That is the simple gospel message, and that has to be there. That is where we hang our faith. And yet this word witness is so much more comprehensive. It is a platform of our very lives to point to Jesus, of which the gospel is just part. He's looking at the apostles, and this word witness is, again, out of the court. It's like a car accident. And you get brought in as a witness and say, hey, what did you see? And these apostles are like, the resurrected Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, rose again. He walked among us. He has changed our lives. It's the same for us. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, every one of you could come up here and testify that Christ has changed your life. We are to be witnesses. The word actually is the word martyr. You know, all but one of these guys that were present, John, died for what they believed. They stepped into the plate with their very life. They trusted the Father's authority even to death. I like in the book of Acts, it's not just Jesus loves you, we have a plan for your life. You know, the first thing they do in the book of Acts, they're like, hey, that Judas guy didn't work out so well. We got a little admin. We need to get a 12th apostle. They did administrative work. The Spirit comes. You know what they did? They're like, hey, we need a little organization and leadership because we're kind of overwhelmed here. All these people are coming and following Jesus, and the widows are getting left behind. What are we going to do about that? The church begins advantage. People open their homes. Community develops. Needs are met. Gifts are used. Resources are given. Whew. The church moves forward. My friends, it's never stopped advancing. We are doing the same thing here today. These guys were not pastors. They weren't theologians. They weren't philosophers, leaders, counselors. What were they? Witnesses. What are we to be? Witnesses. You know, Trinity family, I love you guys. This church has and is and will continue to do this. We are impacting now Central Asia, Haiti, Guatemala, Liberia, Burundi. We have individuals that have grown up out of this church who are working with campus outreach, Ethnos 360, Chi Alpha. Dwayne, who was here in first service last week, went with Global Impact to Florida with Cliff. Julia working with Young Life, Nelson with The Bridge, John and Chris, New Hope, China, Living Hope. Escape from Poverty. These are all platforms that God has given this church to advance the kingdom, but don't miss it, because not all of us have platforms. Not all of us have positions. You know what we have? People. People that God has placed in your and my life, and there's no one else that's going to tell them about Jesus. There's no one else that's going to say, hey, look at my life as I follow Christ. There is something different about me. We are to be witnesses. You know, I don't make myself exempt. I consider myself privileged. I get a position. I get a platform. But that's not where it's at. Can I tell you about my people? There are I have children that don't know Christ yet. There are two little boys that play with my two little boys in the neighborhood, and their parents just went through a divorce, and their life has been turned upside down. Every day I come home and those two little guys are running around in my front yard, and I think, who is going to witness to them about Christ? And I think, Michael, it's you. And I say, Lord, I'm so busy. He says, what's more important? How about the waitress that I see at my favorite restaurant in Scott, the Depot, who knows of Jesus, but I don't think knows Jesus, and she's afraid she has lung cancer, and she knows that I follow Jesus, and every time I'm in there, like a beeline, she comes, and I get to pray with her, and I get to talk to her about Jesus. How about my sensei? She's in trouble because she's getting invited over for dinner sometime, and you ought to come over to the Kramers for dinner. It's a zoo. But I don't think she knows my Jesus. I have nieces and nephews that don't know Jesus. I have friends that I have made here, and they are good people, and they don't know Jesus. My witness. Are you making a big deal about Jesus? I like the end we didn't read at 9 and 11. Where do we start? You start where you are. You don't drive by the two little kids in your neighborhood and say, I'm busy. You don't say, hey, that family member is too far to reach. God's authority, Spirit's power, my witness. As I sat there in the Scott Middle School hubbubaloo, got to understand, mine went first, so I was pretty well checked out halfway through, just waiting to become the Uber driver again and shuttle them back. I was sitting there thinking, man, there's so much competing with Jesus. Everybody's distracted, busy. There's so many truths. Jesus just tends to get drowned. And look at this room. There's no peace and joy and hope. And where's the love at? Found myself a little sad, just kind of sitting there. Then all of a sudden, it was the end of the program. This little fifth grade girl stepped up, took the mic. Only some were listening, I wasn't. She started to say, there has been no one that has impacted history like the baby that was born. All of a sudden, my ear picked up and my mind thought, yes, all these others, they don't have Jesus. She continued, she was bold, so bold. She said that baby came to die for sin, to forgive and find lost sinners, those that would place their faith in him. And tonight we are going to sing of him. The room didn't quiet down, but you know what happened? I thought, it's happening. What's happening? Jesus said here, to the ends of the earth. You know, in about 4 weeks, I'm going to be in Jerusalem. You don't get any farther than the ends of the earth than southern Louisiana. Guys, don't miss it. It's happening. And we're going backwards and reciprocating the other way. Trust the Father's authority. Always the power of the Spirit. Make a big deal of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we don't have to have it all together. None of your followers ever did. Lord, the burden is not on us. We are not the ones that are in charge of advancing your kingdom, but you desire to use us. Lord, be patient with us. Be patient with me. Prone to wander and not trust that you're in control. Lord, I'm prone to want to use my own abilities, so limited, when your Spirit could do so much. And Father, let us not short sell our witness any and everywhere. We are to live for the name of Jesus. May your kingdom advance. May Christ come quickly. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
You will stand with